just was telling Charlie a minute ago, I said, I am so glad you're here. Now that Dave's gone, I said, I think I'd be terrified if I didn't have somebody. So, but I'm glad he's here. We're going to be buddies this year. But and Melissa, thank you so much. And I tell you,
for
I want yes, for hiring Charlie. And for being here and for encouraging me. Last year when I came, I was pretty terrified, really. I mean, you think an old guy like me may have been through it all, but this was brand new stuff to me, a lot of it was. But Melissa kind of mothered me through it and helped me, and Alice was a great encouragement to me all through the year last year. I could go to those two. I remember one time going to Kathy, she was here on her day, and I went in there and I said, Kathy, I'm just kind of terrified. I got all these new subjects and all this new stuff. And she just smiled at me and she said, just relax and go in there and love the kids. And I thought, that's just what I needed to hear, man. I loved it. So I can do that. So that's been really good. So I appreciate all of you. Several of you have been encouragers this first year, and I appreciate it. That's good stuff. And I'm excited to be back, and I really can't wait to see what the Lord has to do this year, because he's going to do some good stuff through us. I really believe that. And I think you believe it too. He gives us unique opportunities. And I really mean that. That sounds like a cliche, but they really are unique opportunities that we have to make a difference in the lives of these kids. I'm telling you guys, this is an incredible honor and blessing we have to make a difference. And not just in the kids, in the parents, in the families, and each other's lives. We can make a difference. We really can. So we need to be sensitive all the time. Lord, what do you want me to say? What do you not want me to say? How do you want me to say it? You know, just that kind of thing all the time. And I just hope and pray we'll all take that responsibility very seriously. I love the theme that Melissa's chosen for this year. I love it. When she first sent it out, I thought, oh, yes, I love it. Stand firm. Stand firm. And I love the verse. It's Philippians 1:27. She put it in the NIV translation, which I love. But this is the NIV. Listen to this. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I'll know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. So good. I like the ESV. I use it a lot these days. And it's pretty much the same thing. But listen to it in the ESV. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are, listen, standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Isn't that good? I love it. But I love those first words of the NIV, and I emphasize it. Whatever happens, guys, we have no idea. The truth is, we have no idea what's about to happen. We don't. God knows, but we don't. We never know. And as you have experienced, life tends to be full of surprises. And that's an understatement. I hear all the giggles. Yeah, some of them are very pleasant and wonderful. And some of them are really, really unpleasant. And you know that. And we're going to have to deal with that some this year. It's going to happen. We don't know what they are yet, but it's going to happen. But what he says is, whatever happens, God's saying, whatever happens, face it as faithful followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to be okay. It'll be all right. And I think there are times, for most of us anyway, when we have to do a little bit of work, hard work, to keep the right perspective. It's not always easy to do that. And sometimes we can do a pretty good job conducting ourselves, as he says, in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. When things are going well for us, it's not so bad. We can do that. But sometimes, and got to remember this, God's doing a lot of stuff, a lot of things in every one of our lives. He knows us all very intimately. And he's engineering things, circumstances into our lives, things that we haven't even thought about yet, going to come up. What he's doing is preparing us. He's preparing us for an eternity. You know, it's not just about now. We've got an eternity with him. All of us are trusting Jesus. And he said, I'm getting you ready for that. And some of the things that it takes to get you ready are not going to be very pleasant. But it's good for you. And I know what I'm doing. And so we just have to trust him. So when God teaches us unpleasant things, valuable things, valuable lessons, powerful lessons, wonderful stuff, but it's unpleasant. Sometimes we just don't see it from his perspective very well. You know what I mean? And we'll start saying, God, what's going on? We'll question his wisdom, or we'll question his power maybe, or we'll question his love. You know, we tend to do that. We're frail and weak. And so we may find ourselves saying, Lord, do you know what's going on? And of course he does. He's engineering it. We don't have to worry about that. Yeah, he knows. And Paul's warning us here, don't think God's forgotten you. Don't think God doesn't know what's going on. Don't do that. He says, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Whatever happens, God has a purpose. And if we don't understand it now, that's okay. We'll understand it someday. We don't have to understand it now. Yeah. Notice what else he says. He says, I hope to be able to return to Philippi. I want to come back. I want to see you guys. I'd really love to come and encourage you personally. But he's saying, I'm not sure. I don't know if I'm going to get to it or not. But if I don't, it's really important that I know that you're standing firm in one spirit, whether I get there or not. And so he's gotten to our theme here, stand firm. There's a Greek word here he uses in Philippians 1:27 for standing firm, and it's stako. Stako. And it does mean stand firm, but it implies a little bit more. It implies standing firm and keep on standing firm. Standing firm with endurance. Standing firm with perseverance. Don't quit. Don't get weary. Don't stop. Stand firm and don't ever quit standing firm. That's the idea behind this Greek word. And God stresses that a lot in Scripture. It's not the only place. You remember when God brought the Israelites up to the Red Sea? It looked so hopeless. I mean, you know, there's the Red Sea, there's Pharaoh's army. You remember that. This is what he said to them. It's in Exodus 14. Don't be afraid. I'm about to destroy your enemies. You'll never see these Egyptian warriors again. But you do have to do one thing. Stand firm. You got to stand firm. I'll take care of it, but you got to stand firm. You remember King Jehoshaphat? This would be several hundred years after that. He was facing an overwhelming army of Moabites, Ammonites, and Edomites. He was terrified. He was overwhelmed. And God said to him, this is in 2 Chronicles 20, you're not going to have to fight this particular battle, Jehoshaphat, but you do have to take up your position, and you do have to face the enemy, and you do have to stand firm. That's what he told him. He said, you got to stand firm. Paul wrote a letter to the Corinthians, just like this letter to the Philippians. And then that great resurrection chapter where he told, this is going to be awesome. When you get to the resurrection, it's going to be incredible. You're going to love it. And then he says, therefore, my beloved brothers, stand firm, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, stand firm. To the Thessalonians, he said, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, so then, brothers, stand firm. And hold to the teachings that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. So what's God saying? How do you apply this command to stand firm? How do we do this? Well, the fact that we're told to stand firm implies that we have to stand against something. There's a pressure against us, and it's going to knock us down, blow us over if we don't stand firm. That's what he's saying. That's one thing he's saying. And we got to be aware of that. Stand firm against that pressure. I don't know how many of you had the opportunity to hear it last year, but in our chapel programs on Thursdays, I did a series on spiritual warfare from Ephesians chapter 6. And in that chapter, and by the way, if you didn't get a chance to listen to it, I've got the link. I'd love you to hear some of that. I think it's really valuable stuff. But in that chapter, God commands us to stand three different times. He says, stand against the schemes of the devil. You've got an enemy. He's got tricks. Stand. He says, I've got armor for you, and I want you to put it on so you can, here it is again, stand in the evil day. Because there's going to be evil day. There are evil days. And when they come, you need to be able to stand. And then before he lists the pieces of armor, he says it one more time. Stand, therefore, and then he starts listing the armor, having your loins girded about with truth. So if you miss those, check it out. Because we have an enemy, and he's pushing against us. And especially when you're making a difference for Jesus. He's going to push. He's going to resist you. But you can stand firm because God's given you all you need to do it. But the word stand firm also implies standing firm on something. Standing firm for something. Okay? not just against, but for. It means standing firm for God's truth, for example. When Jesus was teaching us about the enemy, about Satan, in John chapter 8, he said this. He said, the devil does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. So he gives us the opposite in Ephesians. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. And I don't have to tell you guys, you know this as well as I do, we're living in a day of horrific moral confusion. I mean, it's all around us, and it's getting worse every day. God's truth is being perverted, and there's some terrible lies being told to our kids about God's plan for sex, and God's plan for masculinity, and God's plan for femininity. They're being lied to, and it's being pushed on our youth, and it's being done in the name of love and tolerance. Now, certainly, if anybody in the world ought to be filled with love and tolerance, it had better be those of us who are followers of Jesus. Real tolerance and real love. But listen, guys, this is important. We've got to get this really ingrained. Love separated from the truth is not really love anymore. It's got to be love with truth. And that's how we need to love these kids. If two kids decide they're going to live together, because all their culture around them is telling me it's okay, and they feel like it's okay, it just feels so right. Some people think the only loving thing we can do is affirm them and support them in whatever decision they make. That's not love. That's not love. It's not love to pretend that something God says is sin and brings horrible outcomes and consequences. It's not love to pretend that's not a big deal. It isn't love to pretend there are not going to be any consequences. There will be. And one reason people choose to send their kids to school like this, and more of them, as you heard already this morning, is they're counting on us to stand firm. They're counting on us. They want us to stand firm on God's truth when all around in the world they see the world just kind of swirling down a toilet. That's what they see. And they say, there's a place where they're standing firm. That's where I got to be. So we need to be prepared to tell the kids, listen, kids, this is what God says is the truth about Him. This is what God says is the truth about us. This is what God says is the truth about life. This is what God says is the truth about sex or whatever the topic is. This is what God says is the truth. And they need to hear us say, listen, guys, I'm standing here. I'm standing on God's word. I'm standing on God's truth. And I want to help you learn how to do that too. Because that's the only way you'll get out of this life in good shape. You got to do that. It's not enough, guys, for us just to be nice. There are a lot of non-Christians out there who are really nice people. There are a lot of people who are really nice, but they never talk about Jesus, and they never talk about the scripture. They never talk about the horrible cultural issues we're having to deal with today. And it's tough. It's not easy. But there are a lot of nice people. And again, it goes without saying, we Christians had better be nice. We'd better be kind and gracious and loving and patient. In other words, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the fruit of the Spirit, right? But we got to stand firm on God's truth so the kids will know what the truth is. And the only way they're going to know is if we stand there and we tell them it's the truth, guys. And somebody might say, well, what if somebody gets upset? What if we get resistance? Duh. Of course somebody's going to get upset. The Bible says all who live godly in Christ Jesus is going to suffer some kind of persecution. In fact, let's just finish this chapter here that we're looking at with our theme verse. I read verse 27 a while ago. Let me read it one more time. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. That's verse 27. Now listen to verse 28. Without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it's been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for Him. Since you're going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now here I still have. So he says, get ready. That's why I'm asking you to stand firm. Yeah, there's going to be opposition. You'll certainly face opposition, just like Paul did. We just need to be ready for it. And whatever happens, stand firm. So I'd just like for us to kind of covenant together that we're going to encourage each other this year to stand firm. There'll be times when you need encouragement. There'll be times when I need encouragement. Let's just make up our mind. We're going to covenant to do that. We're going to encourage each other to stand firm, whatever's going on. and Satan will attack in all kinds of ways we haven't thought of yet. And God will give us the grace to stand firm. If you're here on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I hope you'll get here early enough so we can pray together. That's a good way to start our day together. We can encourage each other then before the school day starts, but we need to support each other. Verse 27, Paul said, contending as one man. ESV had it, striving with one mind. We're in a great spiritual battle. God has privileged us to be on the front lines, guys. That's where we are. And it's a battle, and we need to stay united, and we need to stand firm. And then whatever happens, remember that's how he started the verse, whatever happens, 10 months from now, we'll be able to look back and say, well, thank you, Lord. It hadn't been always easy. Lots of surprises, things I didn't expect. But by your grace, we stood together. And by your grace, we stood firm. And by your grace, you gave us a chance to give you glory. And all the praise goes to you. Right? Let's do that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the school. And I thank you for these sweet people in this room who love you. And Lord, you've challenged us this year to stand firm. And we thank you for Melissa for giving this thought to her. Lord, we don't know what we're going to face, but you do. And I thank you so much that you've given us all the armor we need, all the truth we need, all the information we need, all the facts we need, all the promises we need. You've given us yourself. You've given us your Holy Spirit so that we can stand firm. And so, Father, help us as this year progresses. Help us to be encouragers to each other and to the kids. And help us in a very gracious, loving, kind, patient, compassionate way to stand firm and to help these kids learn to stand firm as we face this incredible conflict that we're involved in. Thank you that you're the victor through our Lord Jesus Christ. We will win. Thank you that he already won the victory on the cross. Thank you that the day is coming when we'll be with you in glorified bodies and all this life will be done. And Lord, thank you that we have that to look forward to no matter what happens. So that whatever happens, Lord, we can keep our focus on you and get strength and help and grace when we need it the most. And we'll give you praise for it all. And we praise you in advance for what you're going to do this year. In Jesus' name, amen.